Rubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
I mean, could we be any more excited?
Okay, this could possibly be the best podcast ever because there's a lot happening. So first of all, we should explain where we are.
Yeah, we are actually in Central Perk.
Correct. On the orange couch at the Friends Pop-Up in New York City.
If you've been living under a rock, Central Perk is the coffee shop where all the friends hang out on their orange couch every day and no one else seems to bother them.
It is truly like this is... Oh, I mean, I like anytime I turn a corner in here, it's something that I'm like upset. Like I just literally feel like I'm living in a yearbook of my favorite people.
We walked in. Tanya has said, I literally cannot, maybe 100 times. And we've only been here for like 20 minutes.
There's a whole wall of like friendsisms that I like feel like I say all the time. The papa and like the it's going to hurt my Joey's apple.
You say that all the time
in my head.
Well, I mean, I think it's we speak for majority.
Yes.
Of the world when we say that Friends is in my opinion, one of the most iconic shows to ever be on TV.
Oh yeah, this show is like everything, and I feel like this is a true two-pronged excitement because this is our first podcast since we got nominated again for the People's Choice Award.
Oh yeah, congratulations!
Yeah, what a way to kick off the first podcast after the nomination.
I know, at a Friends Papa.
I know.
I mean, it's like where do we start?
I mean, it's truly a testament. So they're doing this pop-up. Is it for a month? I think a month.
Yes, just 1 month until October 7th.
It's sold until October 7th, mm-hmm. And it has sold out.
Yeah.
It's sold out in 4 hours.
My God. But if you come to New York, the retail space is available and open to the public, so you can come get... we're standing right in front of it. There's like trillions of friends.
Oh, they can just come by the merch.
Yeah, you can buy like a Central Perk apron, things like that.
I literally am going to go after we do the podcast and buy everything I can get my hands on.
I know. I don't have any Friends merch and I'm really upset about it.
I have like the t-shirts that say Friends, you know, from like Irvin or something. But anyways, I was going to say, if you live anywhere else and you're visiting New York, you have to come here. It is the coolest thing it's the coolest pop-up I've ever been to, I'll say that.
Oh my God, there's 50 original props from the show. There's 5 Rachel wigs.
I saw those. By those. Yeah.
Those are insane. They've got this really cool photo op by the fountain where you can, like, I was dancing with an umbrella, and just like I was in the intro to the show.
Yeah, it really makes you feel like you're back on set for the show. It's really cool. Tanya and I did a video with the couch yelling pivot.
I was Ross because Ross is my favorite.
Yeah, Tanya loves Ross.
I love Ross so much. Like, he's my favorite friend, like, hands down. And actually, did you know that they added up all the screen time because everybody was like, oh, they're all like the same. They're all the main characters. But Ross has the most scenes out of any friend in the franchise.
That's interesting.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So would you say Friends?
Hours, like hours of like screen time. He has the most.
So is Friends the story of Ross then, would you say?
I would not say that. No, I would not. I would be perclumped to say that.
Well,
Perclumped? Presumptuous.
Perclumped? I've never heard the word preclumped.
Preclumped is not a word, but
okay.
It's never stopped me before.
Yeah, I don't think it's the story of Ross, but he does have the most hours of screen time.
But he's your favorite character.
He's my favorite. I think it tells a lot about each, like who you are, who your favorite friend is. I always wanted to marry somebody like Ross. Shall we go around the couch? Who's your favorite friend?
I mean, I wanted to be Rachel.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Okay. Danielle. Okay. Easton.
Chandler.
Yeah, it's a good one.
The really exciting thing though is that we get to interview two other legendary members of the Friends cast. We get to interview James Michael Tyler, who was Gunther, and we get to interview Maggie Wheeler, who is Janice, and we got to meet her before.
Yeah,
I went nerd out and I said, "Can I hug you?" I don't think I scared her, but if I did, it's okay. We're going to sit down and have a chat.
I just think there's something like so beautiful about this show because honestly, I watch it every single night before I go to sleep and it just like makes me laugh. It puts me in a good mood. Like if I'm having a bad day, I will put on the Friends episode where Ross gets a tan. Mm-hmm. And it'll just completely turn me around. It'll completely turn my day around.
Tanya cackles. Like, it's not... You can't hear because she has earphones in. But she, when she watches Friends, she cackles out loud, even if people are around. Because she's just overwhelmed with the hilarious scenes.
When we were in Rhode Island for Jared and Ashley's wedding, Becca and I shared a room. And I was like, I have to fall asleep to, like, an episode of Friends. Do you care? And she's like, I'll just put your headphones in. I was like, okay, cool. So I, like, put my headphones in and I start watching the episode and I'm like peeing my pants laughing. And she's like, no, I need you to turn it off now.
I was like, oh. I was like, you were, I thought it was going to be quiet, but you don't know how to do that. So
yeah,
we were talking about this last night and I always, cause I know you fall asleep to Friends every night, but I assumed you had it on like a TV or something. And then Tanya's like, no, I'm just watching it on my cell phone in my bed.
Cause I don't want a TV in my bedroom, but I of like course. To fall asleep to noise. So I just put it like up on my phone on my, cause I just like the, like, I don't know, the familiar voices and stuff just soothe me to sleep.
Does Senor Butterfly like Friends?
Okay, so funny. He's only seen one episode, and it's the one I made him watch.
Ever?
Yeah.
Which episode was it?
I think it was the one where Ross gets, I think it's the one where Ross gets a tan.
That's how she gets people hooked.
I thought I would get him hooked, but like he's not watched one since, so I'm a little perplexed.
Well, maybe he's waiting to watch it with you.
I don't
Something
think
he
so.
Wants to share with you.
Yeah, maybe it's a thing that he likes to do when he's with you. But maybe you should put it on your TV and not your phone.
No, I had him watch it by himself. We didn't watch it together.
Oh,
I had him watch
it by
himself. So it was like homework.
Yeah. I was like, here's a homework assignment.
And he was just like, cool.
Yeah. I should give him another one.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah. Maybe he's like overwhelmed with how many episodes there are.
Can I tell you that I was like, I'm actually genuinely like, jealous of you that you can start from season one, episode one, and watch Friends from top to bottom like a new viewer. Like, I am jealous of you. And he just doesn't seem to be.
Don't realize the gift you have.
He doesn't realize the gift that he has been given.
It's so funny because I remember when Friends was airing live and the finale was happening, and I recorded, like, I had a VHS tape. I put it in and recorded it, the finale, because they did a finale special, and it was like really emotional. The song from U2 called "With or Without You" was playing during the Ross and Rachel scenes.
The makeout and in the rain.
And I used to watch that. I would rewind it and watch it over and over again because I was just like, I was so sad that the show was over, and I'm like thrilled that it's just continued to be what it is.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's the best.
Speaking of Senor, I got a lot of DMs of people asking me how the night went, and I just want to update that I completely did not do what I had planned that night.
The sweatpants trick.
I did not. However, I ended up wanting us to like go out. I was like, I think I just like, we need to like go out and like be cute. But I ordered him sweatpants. When I tell you that these sweatpants could literally fit a house, they could fit a house. And I threw away the box and everything. So it's like, they're here to stay.
Yeah. But like, no one's ever complained about big sweatpants. Like, that's the best.
They're gigantic.
Do they have a drawstring?
Yeah.
Then you're fine.
Okay.
Just be like, hey.
So I'm like, here, I thought you were the size of a house.
No, I think it's funny if you're like, I tried to order these and I really misjudged the sizing.
The sizing.
So you have some extra large sweatpants.
Yeah.
You could do that move where you pull them all the way up to your neck.
And,
you know,
and dance.
Yeah. It's fun.
So I'll be giving him those potentially this weekend.
Y'all had a cute weekend, though.
I got
a cute photo of y'all having a picnic.
We did. We had a picnic on the beach.
Was it romantic?
It was so romantic. It was so cute.
Well, we have a very, very exciting guest coming in just one second. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Gunther.
All right, you guys, we're back. And we have our first guest of the day. We have James Michael Tyler. He is Gunther on Friends.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
It really feels like we're sitting next to a legend, truly.
Oh, Well, thanks. I don't look like Gunther anymore, though, right?
Yeah, your hair's brown.
Yeah, I have a beard.
I feel I'm like I walked by, you didn't even realize you were Gunther because I was looking for the blonde hair.
Yeah, a lot of people have done that. It's like, hey, who's that guy with a beard? No, I was just in between projects. And, you know, I did the 20th anniversary 5 years ago. And so I did re-Gunther-fy myself for that. Because I thought, well, that's probably going to be the last of these things. You know, I couldn't imagine it going more years. And now here's the 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
So they call me back, and I'm like, sure, but I can't appear as Gunther. I retired him.
Oh, you officially retired him.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think there will be many, many more anniversaries.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
It's, I never would have expected it. You know, when we finished the series, you know, in 2004... Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, what a great run. I was a working actor on a TV show for 10 years, which, you know, that's fantastic. But now, you know, here we are this many years later. And, what, this is like the third generation now starting off those fans? I met some people yesterday, a woman, she must have been about, you know, 25 or so. And she said, this was my grandma's favorite show and my mom's favorite show. And they used to watch it with, like, me as an infant. And she said, and it's amazing. She says, now my daughter is watching it.
That is so cool.
It's just, it's stunning. It's humbling, honestly.
I was just telling them that this guy that I just started dating he's seen one episode of Friends, and that's the one I told him to watch. And I was like, you truly have you don't realize the gift that you have because you get to start with fresh eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I think I've seen every episode maybe 100 times.
Wow. Well, you've definitely seen it a lot more than I have. Are you really good at Friends trivia, too?
Oh, yeah, we are.
We do it on the podcast sometimes as a competition. Okay,
you know what? I'm terrible at Friends trivia. I really am. It's kind of embarrassing.
Do you still watch it?
I can watch it more with an objective eye now, but for years, I would try to watch an episode, and all I could think, I couldn't like suspend my disbelief, as they say, you know, because I'd see a scene, I'm like, boy, Schwimmer was so hilarious in that scene, and wow, Lisa was amazing in this scene, and I couldn't see them as the characters.
Right.
You know, because I knew all of them in real life, and we worked together very tight-knit for 10 years, so, and it was a job.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew the script inside and out. Like, when it was actually airing for the first time on TV, I was kind of like, I couldn't tell my friends. They're like, what happens in this one? I'm like, you're just going to have to watch. It's like, I had the script. I know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to ruin the experience for you. But as time's gone has gone on, now I can kind of see it with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
And it's a really pretty darn good show.
Do you have a favorite friend?
I just loved Phoebe. Oh. Hilarious.
I love that we've all picked a different person. This is really,
I mean,
thrilling.
They were all great. But
totally.
I think maybe that's because, you know, knowing Lisa in real life, you know, as Lisa Kudrow, she is so completely different than the character she played in Phoebe, and brilliantly does that turn. It's just masterful, a masterful performance.
I feel that way. I almost felt like it was, you watched it and what was so cool about the show is that each episode, it was like someone had a moment where they like really shined or like they were really funny or, and it just happened like that. Y'all filmed in front of a live audience, right?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
So did you ever have moments where you broke and couldn't get it together with anyone in particular?
All the time. Are you kidding me? And another thing about the filming in front of a live audience, you know, we would have a table read Mondays, I believe. And then we would have like we rehearse throughout the week. And then we would have a writer's run through on Thursdays. We filmed on Fridays. So the Thursday, the writer run through was always like people were laughing. Of course, the writers, you know, did the jokes. And they would laugh because they wrote the jokes. Now, on occasion, we would get in front of a live studio audience and they thought that joke was going to land and it would not get the reception from the audience, the reaction that they were expecting. They were such a tight-knit machine at that point. They would just huddle up after the take, the writers with the actors, and they would on the fly write a new joke or a new scene on the fly and go back, and they would go back, all right, and action, and they would do the new scene, and the audience would like 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10 that joke would land.
That is,
and a
so
lot of
awesome.
It was spontaneity. There was a lot of ad-libbing too. I mean,
with the actors,
you know,
because they like become their characters.
Yeah, and they would just like say something that was not even in the script.
Yeah.
And it was always hilarious.
When you were cast, did you know that you'd be as regular as you were the whole series?
Well, I actually was not cast. I came in as an extra. The first
episode. And you were just so good.
The first season. I was a barista in real life with a Master of Fine Arts degree. Okay.
I was going to ask that question. Is yeah. it how your barista skills are in real life?
Yes, I was actually pretty good.
I was a barista in my day as well. So.
Yeah. You know the Bourgeois Pig in Hollywood? It's a coffee shop in Hollywood.
No.
It's one of the older of the new breed of coffee shops. They started in 1992, and I was one of their original baristas.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was a second AD that I was doing some extra work to make some extra money. And so he called me one evening. He said, hey, there's this new show that I'm going to be the second AD on, and there's a coffee house set in there, and I know that you work at the Bourgeois Pig, so... maybe it'd be cool if you come in because you can look natural behind.
Right, or you know what you're doing with an espresso machine.
You can
machine.
Move your elbows correct, yeah. Or at least mine making a cappuccino and steaming milk. So I went in that next day, but that night, this is just a weird 24 hours. That evening, a friend of mine also called me and said, hey, you know, I want to be a stylist. Would you mind come over and let me bleach your hair? This was completely unintentional. Oh, so I went over to the house. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. It's fine. I'll be your guinea pig. So they bleached my hair that night. I went on to the show, onto Friends, the very first episode the next day. And they said, okay, you're Coffee Guy. He was not Gunther until a year and a half later.
Oh my God.
Year and a half, I was an extra called Coffee Guy.
I have chills.
And they put me behind the counter, and the producers and the creators of the show, they liked the look. They said, oh, I guess that's what a barista in New York City in 1994 would look like. He'd have this kind of, you know, shocking white hair. And all the crazy clothes and ties, that came later. I think the very first episode, I wore my own clothing. And I had this really ridiculous red smoking jacket that I put on.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I kind of had that look.
Yeah.
But
kind
they liked it so much.
You created your
they
own
had me
space.
Back. Yeah, to a degree, I should say. But and then they kept calling me back and calling me back and calling me back. And about a year and a half later, in the middle of the second season, Marta Kaufman, one of the creators, mm-hmm. walked up to me outside when I had some free time, and she said, hey, do you have any acting experience? And I said, yes, I have a Master of Fine Arts in acting, actually. And she said, well, that's good to know. And she walked away, didn't say a word. And the next week I showed up for work, and she said, hey, your name is Gunther. And I was like, what? Yeah, you're a character name. Your character's name is Gunther, and you have a line in today's episode. Really? And my line was, yeah. It was literally one word. Completely had nothing to do with the storyline. It was just like a little gag with Ross and the new Gunther in the coffee shop where Ross hands Gunther a slinky. Ross asked Gunther if he has stairs at his place. He'd bought a slinky for Rachel as a gift. And she didn't want it or something. And so he said, hands Gunther the slinky. Gunther says, yeah. Hands the slinky and says, knock yourself out. So anyway, and it just kind of evolved from there.
That's so cool.
That's yeah. even cooler than I thought. I thought it was one of those things where it's like, okay, you're brought on and, you know, you're going to be appearing as Gunther. I didn't realize that you just came on. You were an extra then.
Oh, yeah. And I never, you know, I never knew for a long time if they were going to have me back. You know what I meant?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was like established as a coffee guy.
Between
the first season and the second, I didn't even realize that it had become popular over the summer. I think it went to number one in the reruns over the summer, but I honestly didn't know because, you know, it's before social media and cell phones and everything.
Right.
So I really wasn't paying attention to the ratings. I was just really hoping that I'd get an extra like $45. Per week.
Wait, are you you still make money off this show, right?
Through residuals in the episodes that I spoke in,
right.
which has been
a lot,
know,
right?
A lot. I probably watch you every night.
Gunther didn't always speak though, so you know. So
well, there we did one of our trivia questions on the podcast was how many episodes you appeared in.
Yeah, it was, 150?
It was a lot,
like
yeah.
It's a good number.
Even if you don't speak, though, my favorite part of watching the show is just watching you in the background. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's so fun.
It was
like,
fun.
Your expressions and everything.
There was a lot of face acting going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. you were like, with, I didn't even realize you didn't speak in every episode.
I know.
It feels like there's something going on.
Oh, thank you. It's magic.
Magic.
Yeah. Well, we are honored to have you on
honored.
The show. Thank you
I'm
so much.
I'm honored to be on your show. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I know. You live in LA and you listen to Kiss FM. That is
there
so rad.
Go. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And congratulations. You'll be celebrating this forever, I think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
we hope
so.
To see you at the 30th and the 35th and the 40th and the 45th and the 50th.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, have you guys heard about this company making stylish shoes for women and girls out of recycled plastic water bottles? And they're insanely comfortable and machine washable. I know this to be true because I have thrown mine in the washing machine.
Rothy's has quickly grown to a most loved, gotta have them brand. They're stylish, sustainable, comfortable, washable, really all in one pair of shoes. And they're the perfect flats for life on the go.
It's true. Meghan Markle wears them. Rothy's are the everyday flats for life on the go. They're stylish and versatile, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. Rothy's come in a wide range of colors and patterns, and they're available in 4 different silhouettes. Plus, they're constantly launching new styles, so you're guaranteed to find a pair or 3 that you love.
I feel like you and Amy always have your camo Rothy's on, and they're so cute, and they go
camos.
With everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like you rave about how comfortable they are. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than an uncomfortable pair of flats.
There's nothing better to me than a pair of shoes you can throw in the washing machine.
Also a plus.
Yeah.
They're ultra comfortable. So, and that's as soon as you slip them on. So there's no break-in period for these shoes, which is truly a game changer. I currently have Band-Aids on my feet from bad shoes. So this really resonates. Rothy's always come with free shipping and free returns, exchanges, so there's no risk, no worries, or no reason not to try. Rothy's are manufactured in a zero-waste factory, and they ship directly in the shoebox, so there's no unnecessary packaging. These are feel-good flats in more ways than one.
Yep, so check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/Becca. Go to rothys.com, that's R-O-T-H-Y-S. .com/Becca to get your new favorite flats.
Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to rothys.com/Becca today. All right, so we are back, and our next guest, like I said earlier, I feel like I approached you and I scared you. I was like, can I have a hug? But we have Maggie Wheeler here, who plays the, would you say infamous or famous Janice?
I'll take either.
I have to say, I watched interviews of you before we got here, and I had no idea that you didn't sound like Janice.
That does surprise a lot of people. They're like, wait, you don't talk like that? What do you mean?
But you know, sometimes I do talk like that.
Oh, so you can just get it. You can get it back.
Sure. Why not?
Who came up with you having that voice?
I did. And I got the audition. It just came across a fax machine. That's how long ago it was. And I saw the script and I saw the writing and there was just a rhythm to the voice, and it said fast talking New Yorker up at the top, and the scene was the scene that takes place on the orange couch you happen to be sitting on, where I sat next to Matthew and said, oh, you know, I got you socks, mix and match, moose and squirrel, squirrel and moose, whichever you want. And I could just hear her. I thought, oh yeah, I know that girl. I grew up around those people. Let's do it. So that's how I showed up for the audition.
It literally could not be any other way. Like, we walked through, and even just seeing the words written out, oh my God, it was like, in my head, it was you.
I love that. I love that. You know, I've seen that meme of me as Janice, and it says, I can hear this picture. So totally. I know that it has entered into the psyche of millions of people. They can't get away from me. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I feel as though we might be like 1 degree of separation, because I did match with Matthew Perry on a dating app.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's mine, honey.
I feel like we're like 1 degree apart, even though I never met him, never responded.
And what was your line to him?
Happy Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Saturday.
And he didn't respond.
It's probably for the best, because I don't think, like, with the Friends characters, like, it's just, I could never, if I literally went on a date with him, I'd just be like, you're Chandler Bing. Like, there's yeah, no,
how do
like,
you do that?
I can't. There's no way. I couldn't have done it.
Did you have anyone, I mean, I know most of your scenes were with Matthew Perry, but you were kind of involved with everyone. Was yes. there anyone that you, like, really, that, I like the, like, did you ever bust into laughter with anyone specific?
You know, everybody made me laugh, and we cracked up on set a lot because the writing was hilarious. These actors are hilarious. It's wonderful when you crack each other up. You kind of wait for those moments. But we had there were a couple of specific times where we really had a hard time keeping it together. In the scene where I'm hyperventilating into the paper bag and eventually I suck the receipt up into my mouth. So, in that scene, we had rehearsed it many, many times. And every time Matthew grabbed the bag and every time the air just kind of exited the bag, that's all that ever happened in rehearsal. And on the show night with all those people, all of a sudden he grabbed that bag and it burst. There was this huge bang and he looked at me and I looked at him and we had to keep going. And I hid myself in the bag. So you can see if you watch that scene that I am just holding back hysterical laughter. And Matthew looks like he is too, because we just weren't expecting it. It was like, bang! Anyway, that was a hilarious moment. And then in the episode where I hook up with Ross and nobody's expecting it, audience reaction.
Oh, he's my favorite.
Like that. So, you know, every entrance I ever made as Janice, I was hidden from the audience until I made my first entrance. So the audience was always shocked to see me. And it's a great, you know, it's kind of a great way to have an entrance on any show. I get to be a rock star every time I show up, you know, for that first time. But on that episode, nobody had a clue. And that buildup went on and on and on. He hooked up. And he's like, I don't have to tell you. And it just goes on. And the audience is thinking, what the hell is going on? And when I jumped through that door and said, you left your scarf in the taxi or whatever I say, the audience lost it. I mean, they just lost it and they screamed and they laughed and they're like, no, yes, no. And it went on for so long that we all started to just lose it. And again, if you look, you'll see I take the scarf and I put it up to my face because I'm like, okay, I can't. I'm about to lose it all.
Oh my gosh. Well, so how did that, if you were in front of, I feel, I don't know if this is like common knowledge, but if you start laughing and break character, do you redo it? How does it work?
Yeah, you do redo it. And, yeah. And you know, if you watch a bloopers reel, you will see how many times they lost it and cracked up all the time. So actually, you know, it's so much fun for the audience when everybody loses. Yeah. They're cool, you know. So yeah, you usually shoot a scene two or three times anyway. So if you break and you crack up, they'll just do it again.
I didn't realize it was in front of a live audience. I literally thought it was a laugh track.
Yeah, I'm just like,
which I dually enjoyed. Like, I still, it still gives me a thrill. I was like, I don't even care if these are like recorded laughs. This is so good.
Yeah, no, it was live. Absolutely.
I'm so jealous of anyone who has gotten to go. I mean, someone said, oh yeah, I went to a friend's like live recording and like my heart dropped because I was like, I'll never get to do that.
It's very sad.
I do get to do this.
We're doing this. It's as close as it could be. I mean, you're sitting on these sets. It feels like we're back there.
I know. Right? That's what we were saying.
I feel like I feel like everybody, poor things, anytime anybody gets in front of a microphone, they're like, are you going to reboot Friends? Are you going to reboot Friends? Yeah. Would you want them to reboot Friends?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think it would be kind of extraordinary to see everybody come back together, but it would have to be obviously the right script, the right context, you know, to take the characters forward in some way. I don't know that it will ever happen, but, you know, we can all dream.
I know. It seems like everybody's down for it. They just want to do it right.
Yeah. I get nervous because it's so iconic how it is. And not that it would be, I mean, it would still be amazing, but it was just like there was something so magical about the show. And I kind of feel like it had this beauty to it that wasn't social media or like wasn't, you know, it just had what it had and it was magic.
It's so true. And it existed in a time when we didn't have all of that. So not only was the show itself built around people actually interacting with each other, actually talking to each other, never looking down at a phone, never being distracted in that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, that was part of the beauty of the show. And of course, if we did something now, it would be in the current climate of, you know, of the culture. And
right. You'd have to have like a 360 yeah. experience.
Like, Chandler, put the phone down. I'm talking to you.
Yeah. But it's like back at a time when like, I feel you would have like parties. Well, there's a sign. Hello, New York City.
Hello, New York.
Where you would have like parties to watch Friends. Like you have to like, I remember watching the finale. Like we had to watch it at the time that was it before TiVo? Was there TiVo?
I think because yeah,
I remember watching it live.
I recorded it on my VHS. I like hit and the finale. I remember it. So
yeah,
vividly.
Me too. And like it was like back in the day when you had to literally like plan your schedule around
being
when the
home.
TV show was airing. Yeah,
you had to be home.
It's so special.
Those days are
gone, long gone.
So sad.
Did you ever take anything from the set that you kept?
I have a couple of spectacular pairs of pants that belong to Janice that live in my closet, and I have a few things that kind of rattled around in her bags because the prop department would always put little things in my purses, keychains with a picture of my daughter, or they did some crazy things. So I have a few of those things at home.
So how old is your daughter?
I have two. One is about to be 24, and the other one's 19.
Okay, so are they like, do they they get the gravity of like the fact that you were on the most iconic show ever?
You know, I don't really know. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, the lobster doesn't know that it's boiling in the pot until, you know, or whatever that is. I mean, my children grew up in this. And so my older daughter learned to walk in the hallways at Friends. And we took baths in the sink in my dressing room. And my younger, you know, is part of the whole Netflix generation and all of her friends are watching it. So yeah, they know, but I'm their mother. So, you know, they get it. And I'm also their mother.
Right. They like, can't make you too cool.
If I were your daughter's friends and I came over to your house and you walked in, I would be just starstruck.
That does happen sometimes. It takes people a while, you know. Sometimes her friends don't put it together because I don't sound like Janice, and I don't necessarily dress like her. And so, you know, people can, you know my kids and know me for quite a long time before suddenly the bubble pops and they're like, wait, that's your mother?
Yeah.
Your mother is Janice?
Is there anybody from the cast that you still like keep close touch with?
We're not in close touch, but we all live in LA. And so I do run into people. I run into both Matthews and Lisa. I haven't seen Jennifer in a lot of years, but we knew each other before the show. So we have a lot of mutual friends and yeah.
I think if I ever met David Schwimmer, I would truly.
Yeah, you really like.
I love Ross.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's awesome. And he directed me in an episode. And he's also, by the way, a great dancer. I don't know if everybody knows that about Ross, but about David, but he's a great dancer.
You know that?
Well, him and Monica did their.
Okay. I don't think that really.
He's a better dancer than that.
I was like, that's pretty good if you ask me.
Yeah, Tanya's standards
he's
are low.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they are pretty low.
He's so great. I love them all. We just had so much fun.
Do you have a scene? Because I was laughing. I was watching it yesterday because it's one of those shows that we were talking about it. She goes to sleep to it. And then
I
put it on if I see it, if I'm in a hotel room or something and it's on the guide, I'm like, that's the go-to. But I was watching the episode with the tuck and roll where he rolls you. And I was knowing that I was going to get to talk to you. Do you have any scenes that are like your top?
I do. I mean, there's a handful that I really, really love. The 15 Yemen Road Yemen episode in the airport was really funny and really hard to get through without laughing. I'm a big fan of obviously the labor episode.
Oh,
yeah,
so good.
Here we are again back in the city. You know, I've said to many people that I'm a big fan of the Valentine's episode. I just happen to really love that line that they wrote for me where she says, I cut your heads out of the pictures. Maybe you can use them as puppets in your little theater of cruelty or whatever she says. You know, I just thought that was the most hilarious idea. I love that episode. And I don't know. There's so many that I love.
Oh, have you gotten to see Gunther? Gunther.
James Michael.
Have you gotten to see James Michael?
Here? Yeah, we've been together for the last several days doing press together here in this amazing pop-up. So, yeah, we've had some time and we're going to be traveling and doing a few other things.
A few mother things and other things. Well, we could not be more honored to have you on the show.
Yes,
seriously. So awesome. Sorry I bombarded you and went
no,
for the hug
kidding?
First.
That was awesome. What a great welcome.
And like we said to James, we will be seeing you at the next anniversaries because we feel like this will be going on for a very long time.
Forever.
I mean, I'm a Friends fan for life.
It's great. And, you know, you said you watched it, you know, you watch it going to bed at night. I run into people who tell me that all the time. And I run into people who tell me the show saved their life.
Yeah.
You know, it through all times, good times, bad times. So I think it's pretty wonderful that it's touched so many people.
It's the show that if you watch something that it didn't make you feel good, you were like, I got to put on an episode of Friends.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
antidote to all things.
It really is.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
She was amazing. They were both awesome.
That was pretty cool. I also like love the fact that they're like just so down to talk about their friends' characters. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they appreciate how like how much it means to people.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe she doesn't sound that she's not that Janice is like just a voice.
That was mind blowing.
Yeah.
Like, not just a regular, she has like a very pleasant voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Soothing. Yeah.
But I feel like we could do that, boys.
Oh.
I'm actually pissed I didn't do it for her.
Yeah.
And she probably, like, yeah. Probably for the best. It's actually probably for the best.
Crickets.
Yeah. Okay.
That would have ended the interview sooner than we needed.
Like, taxi.
It's so cool because we are like the whole set that we're on is literally exact. It's really cool.
It is really cool.
We took lots of photos and videos. We're gonna post them for y'all just so you can get the experience. But switching gears, we're 2-time People's Choice Award nominees.
Woo! That was a thrill.
That's crazy. I mean, not that I'm not surprised, but also it's awesome that like 2 in a row. I mean, come on.
It's pretty special.
Pretty special.
I, to be honest, I'm not surprised. Like, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that we were able to do this, or that our listeners were able to do this, because that's kind of what it came down to, was people like voting us in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, I was like, well, there's so many podcasts out there. Like, you know, maybe they're going to switch it up and make it another new group of people. So it was like really cool to be in there again.
And not only that, I have so many thoughts. This is me like buffering, trying to decide where I want to go with this. However, I just feel like the fact that last year, like, our listeners literally rallied and pulled out a win, and that people had the audacity to say like it wasn't legit, this just proves that like it's legit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
People said it wasn't legit.
Yeah. You know, haters, they just hate. Haters gonna hate.
Haters mean you're doing something right.
Yeah.
You can't deny the power of the scrubbing. In when the scrubbers come together, I mean, you're a People's Choice Award winner. You become the Caramel Corn Princess. Like, these are things that no one could have ever dreamed possible.
Yeah.
Last year was the first year that they did pop podcasts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of you guys just being the pop podcast winner, like 100% of the...
Totally.
Like, look at like that Wikipedia the entry, just like,
oh yeah,
down
yeah.
the list.
I know. And then somebody actually told me, they're like, well, you guys won it last year. You're not really gonna. I was like, are you kidding? Like, I am starting the campaign trail. Is it trail?
Yeah.
Trail. I'm starting the campaign trail. Beck and I are actually gonna sit down and send videos to people who send us screenshots that they have maxed out their votes. We're going for a two-peat.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
I also feel we have some, we have another iHeartRadio produced podcast, Wind Down.
Janet Kramer.
Okay, I was like, I'm saying something
Thank
wrong.
Thank you very much. And Michael Costin. Mike's on the show, on the title now too.
Yeah.
Which we also do at iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
As part of the extended podcast universe.
I texted her right away when I saw and congratulated her.
Me too.
Because I like, obviously, love them, and
yeah,
I'm gonna throw them some votes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always generous with the other nominees.
Very generous because like I love Jana and Mike, and so I'm gonna throw them a couple, but definitely keeping the majority under scrubbing.
it's a different way of doing it this year. They make it a lot easier.
Yeah, it's true. It's a lot easier. So, but we were debating like our outfits last night. Somebody messaged me this morning. They were like, my vote is for the cream color for Bones. They were like dying that you said cream for Bones.
I mean, Tanya really, the whole joke with Tanya is that she always takes something just like one step too far.
That's like, not too far. Wanting to be like Destiny's Child and like matching is so cute.
You started with scrubs though.
Oh yeah.
The matching and coordination is totally acceptable. Okay. I'm so down for it. But you were like trying to make it cardiothoracic and red, or so that's why I threw out cream for Bones.
It's so good.
Do you have any plans with Senor?
We are plans-less this weekend, mm-hmm. But we did talk last night that we want to see each other. So I'm trying to figure it out because I have like a lot of plans with friends. Like I have one of my best friends, her mom's birthday this weekend, and then another birthday happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I might have to bring him along. Is that too much? I just feel like it's too
much. I'm going to be at one of the things, so I hope that you bring him along. I haven't gotten to meet him yet.
I know, but I'm like wondering if it's too much because he's already met like two of my friends. I haven't met any of his friends. Like I don't want to like be overwhelming him.
Well, I think you ask him, and if he wants to go, then that's his decision. If he's like, oh, that's a little overwhelming, then
okay. I guess I can say, I'm going to go to these two birthdays. You're more than welcome to come with me.
Don't say you're more than welcome. Say, I'd love for you to come
with me. Okay.
You should be dying to meet your friends. Mm-hmm. That was my move, is I would want to meet as many of the friends as possible, because then if we get them on my side...
Really?
Because then they're hanging out. They're like, oh, Easton's so great. Easton's the best. Mm-hmm.
So, but seriously. So here's the thing, though. Like, I just, I feel like I don't want to, like, I like him a lot.
Oh. She's struggling with the fact that she likes him a
lot. I'm struggling with the fact that I like him a lot. And so I'm like, I guess I'm not, I don't know if he feels the same way about me. So I just don't want to overwhelm him, I guess. I don't know what the move is, if that. Makes sense.
From what you've told me, there's nothing that he's done that should make you question if he feels the same way about you, especially as a like a guy who's they're normally not as, you know, expressive with their emotions, and I feel right. like he's very like he communicates that to you. So I think you need to just relax, not overthink things. It is
not overthink things. Is, talking no, to the overthinker queen
it
over
is
here.
The best and worst feeling to like someone that much. It's like literally the best high and also like the scariest scary.
It's the scariest scary because I'm like I actually really like him and he actually lives in my town.
Yeah, this
and
is a like, big deal.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that line up with this guy in terms of just like. The way that we live our lives and how we want to live our lives. And so it's like really exciting, but it's also so terrifying.
But you have to focus on the exciting part, the like thrill of liking someone and getting to see them and getting to talk to them.
I know, but you know me, like I'm really terrible at the game and I feel like I should.
You're not even having to play the game.
I know, but shouldn't I try?
I feel like there's not many games being played here. You guys are
no, there's
being,
zero no, games.
And that's what rules about this.
Really?
Yeah. You shouldn't be looking for a game to play.
She's like, but wait, I don't need to play a game. How do I make one up?
No, I don't know. I think I'm just getting like nervous.
I understand. Like it feels too good to be true. Maybe.
Yes.
I understand that completely.
Yeah.
But it's not, I mean, you should just try to it, like you get caught up in that, but it's happening and you should enjoy how it feels.
It's happening.
It's happening, baby.
I know. I took pictures. I sent Becca, obviously, a picture from the picnic, and then I showed it, sent it to like Ryan and Sisney and Patty, and they were like, this is the cutest thing. Like, I'm like, I know.
And he's smiling so big in the photo.
So
having the best time.
Best time.
I know. But you don't want to like, let's say it continues. You don't want to look back and be like, oh, I spent so much time scared and not enjoying just like what it was. So.
I know you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to.
You go back and forth though.
I do go back
Every
and forth.
Every text she gets, she goes, oh.
That's so embarrassing.
And I'm like, what? And she's like, he's just so cute. It's always this like groan, like
literally that's that. I know. It's like to the point where when I'm like doing the show or if I'm doing something where I actually have to like, I have to like turn my phone like on its face so that I can't see him text.
Yeah. Because like no matter how good we think we are at multitasking, when someone has your attention like
oh,
that,
yeah,
it's like
he has my attention. It's like so, it's nuts. So here we are. Just here we are.
My best friend from Louisiana, Laura, is flying out. It's her birthday today, actually.
Happy belated
Today's
birthday.
Thursday, but happy belated birthday, Laura. We love you. But she's coming out, and then we're going on a little California up the coast road trip.
Cute.
I know. I'm super excited.
Road trip.
Literally, Laura's the reason why I'm here. Because she's the one who nominated me for The Bachelor. So, like, everything that has come from being on The Bachelor literally is because Laura nominated me out of nowhere.
So what do you tell us what you're do you want to keep it as a surprise what you're doing or
I don't really know. We're just gonna kind of I'm thinking Santa Barbara, go up to Big Sur, Maybe end in San Francisco.
End in San Francisco, yeah. And then drive
What's
back.
Past San Francisco, anything?
Well,
I mean, anything worthwhile? You know,
like Yosemite is north of San Francisco.
Yosemite? Is that where the huge trees are?
Yeah, there's big trees there.
No, I'm talking about the thick ones, you know?
Like the sequoias? Like
yeah.
Like the one you drive through?
Yeah, it's sequoias.
I think they're there.
Wait, we have to research that. Yeah. So how many days? So like are you going to spend a day or are you going to spend the night? Like where are you going to spend the night?
I think we're going to go Sunday and then come back Wednesday. So it's going to
That's quick.
It's quick, but it's like, I mean, you could go up to San Francisco in one day, you know? Or like two back to back. We're in New York. Yeah. We're going back tomorrow. Like you can do anything.
That's true. You really can do anything.
But we're just going to go. So we really only get to see each other during our birthdays, which is really special. But, you know, it is like, okay, let's do our yearly thing. And then we'll see each other for my birthday too.
Okay. So I'm just going to put it on my calendar. You're gone Monday through Wednesday.
Sunday through Wednesday. You'll be okay. Senor. He's really stepped in for me. I am no longer the boyfriend or best friend
Yeah, I know. I actually need to watch, I think Monday I'm going to start season two of Fleabag. I really want to finish season.
I've heard that's very good.
Yeah, I heard it's even better than season one. So I really want to finish season two before the Emmys.
Did y'all see the girl who sat next to the guy on the plane and they never said a word, but at the end she dropped something and then he picked it up, or he dropped his water bottle and then she picked it up and handed it to him. And then I think a girl in the group somehow knew the guy or something.
In Scrubbing In?
Yes.
No.
I'll have to find it. And
is there a love connection being made?
I don't dropping his water bottle? I don't know, but she was like asking if she should. She may have found him on social media and was going to slide into his DMs, but was asking for advice. So I wanted to get like an update and see if there was anything, but sorry, this is like a moot point because I can't. It's a moot point. You know, a cow's opinion doesn't matter. But anyways, I was thinking about that because I was like catching up on it. It's really cute. Hmm. I hope they fall in love.
I hope they fall in love too. Because love is in the air.
Okay, so we are going to head back to the hotel. We got a really amazing, emotional email from one of our listeners, and we're going to give her a call and say hello because she's going through a lot right now.
Yeah.
And then we will call Time of Death in the hotel. We don't want to call Time of Death in the Friends on the Friends couch.
No, it doesn't feel right.
We really have had the best time here at the Friends pop-up. Warner Brothers put this together with Superfly. They were behind the Seinfeld experience that they're going to do later in the year where you can go inside Jerry's apartment and everything. But there's a bunch of original props from the show. It's 8,500 square feet. Like I said before, the Rachel wigs. So if you want to, I know it's sold out, but if you can get in here in New York City, it's running until October 7th.
If you're a Friends fan, you have to get over here because this is really like a magical experience.
Yeah. And like we said earlier, if you're not able to get in, you should come into the area where you can buy merch and see
like Central Perk. Yeah. It's so cool.
It's awesome. So I'm so beyond happy that we got to do this. Thank you for having us. We'll never be the same.
Never be the same.
We'll be there for you because you're there for us too.
Well, Liquid IV is the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. I know I'm always trying to drink more water, and Liquid IV hydrates you 2 to 3 times faster and more efficiently than water alone, with an added bonus for vitamin C, B3, B5, B6, and my favorite, B12.
I mean, nothing I need more than a hydrator with added vitamins. My body is yearning for Liquid IV. You feel good and you do good. Liquid IV has donated 1.5 million sticks to date to places like Haiti, Uganda, Puerto Rico, and most recently Nepal. With each purchase you make, Liquid IV donates a serving to someone in need around the whole world.
Yep, Liquid IV helps prevent jet lag when traveling. They're TSA friendly and it's perfect for on-the-go travelers. It helps to keep your skin hydrated while flying, and it can be used right before, during, or after flights. Did you bring yours to New York?
I had some on the plane, and it was a game changer. Because literally, I feel like no matter what, no matter how much water I drink on the plane, I still feel gross and dehydrated. I feel great. I felt great when I got off the plane.
That's true. Becca is like really, really, really strong behind Liquid IV.
Yeah.
I've only heard rave reviews.
I only do the best for my body. You know that.
True.
Liquid IV is the fastest growing wellness brand. You can find them everywhere, even Costco. You can find their hydration multiplier sold at all Costco's nationwide, non-GMO, vegan, and free of gluten, dairy, and soy. Clean ingredients only. I love Liquid IV. I would say we love Liquid IV, and we know you will too. Right now, our listeners get 25% off at liquidiv.com when you use our code SCRUBBINGIN at checkout.
That's 25% off anything that you order on Liquid IV's website. Go to liquidiv.com and enter our promo code SCRUBBINGIN to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code SCRUBBINGIN. Don't wait. Start properly hydrating today.
I would just like to acknowledge we got this email and it really touched me. I feel like we get emails every now and then and they get sent to us and they're just really encouraging. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it earlier and it was kind of this moment of, I think sometimes we get kind of discouraged that, I don't know, like sometimes our podcast, like we wish we had more listens.
Yeah. Or, you know? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I think there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that people don't get to see that is discouraging for sure. And so we get in our heads a lot about things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is what matters.
I know. So we got this email. So Easton, he's going to read it for us as the caramel corn princess would and should.
Thank you so much. This is from Melinda. I am 27 years old and I was brought to the hospital with severe shortness of breath and chest pain at 39 weeks pregnant, where an 11 centimeter tumor was found in my mediastinum, the space between my lungs, which houses the heart. I gave birth to my healthy baby girl, Amelia, but the biopsy revealed my tumor to be a fast-growing type of lymphoma, for which I am now undergoing 24/7 intensive chemotherapy. I have been separated from my baby since, and I haven't seen my two-year-old. I just wanted you guys to know that what you do really does make a difference in people's lives, whether they're going through good times or bad. My hair is most likely going to start falling out next week, and I will most likely be shaving it off. Likely either listening to you guys or Taylor Swift's album. If there's any way to get a phone call or shout out, it would really make my week. And so that is what we're going to do right now.
Yeah. Stand by. We're going to call her.
I don't even have words.
I know. I think it's, obviously it's not like we're pretty aware that we're not changing the world, but I think just providing any sort of comfort through a time like this is really like humbling and kind of puts things into perspective.
Completely into perspective.
Yeah. I'm excited to call her. Oh.
Hopefully she answers.
Hello.
Is this Melinda?
Yeah.
Hi, Melinda.
Oh my God. Is this Becca and Tanya?
It's Becca, Tanya, and Easton, the caramel corn princess.
Hello.
Hi, caramel corn princess.
How are you feeling, Melinda?
Oh my gosh. A lot better. A lot better from a week ago, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about your email, and it's kind of hard to even really relate or grasp what you're going through. You know, like 27 years old as a mom, it's like the last thing you would think you should be worrying about. So, yeah. I mean, you're a hero to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Sorry, I'm like overwhelmed hearing your guys' voice.
No. So where are you right now? Are you at home or?
I'm actually in the hospital still.
Okay.
I just finished 2 days ago. I finished a 5-day cycle of chemotherapy. That was running 24 hours a day for 5 days.
Wow.
So, and what was really ironic is as it, like she was finishing the chemotherapy, I was listening to Taylor Swift and the Soon You'll Get Better song was playing.
Mm.
And I just freaking lost it. But anyways, yeah, so I'm still here. Hopefully I get to go home. I haven't seen my kids in a week.
Mm. Have the doctors, what's your prognosis?
It's really good. It's it's a very aggressive form of lymphoma, but it's very treatable. So we just basically have to go like really hard.
You know what that means, Melinda?
What?
You have to bring out your inner warrior.
Uh-huh.
I know. Because you got this.
I know. So, yeah, the next like 6 to 8 months is going to be tough, but you know, I have 2 kids that I have to be strong for, so.
Well, like, I mean, we could not be rooting for you more. And I do want you to know that you have, I know, at least 25,000 people, at least that are part of the Facebook group, who are behind you too, and much more than that. But yeah, those we know for sure.
You definitely will definitely be praying for you. And if there's anything that, like, honestly, I know you said you just wanted us to call you, but if there's anything that we can do, like, please reach out and let us know.
Oh my God, you guys are amazing. Yeah, every little bit of positivity helps. So,
well, what's your, just to go kind of off subject, what's your favorite song of the day from Taylor's album?
I know that's like the hot topic lately. Yeah. Well, obviously, like, that song I'm obsessed with. I listened to the Soon You'll Get Better before all this, like, only 2 weeks ago. I thought I was just pregnant and having like really bad pregnancy symptoms, so I cried like before even any of this happened. But obviously that song, and I honestly, everything you guys have said that you liked, I agree with. I can't remember song names right now.
Well, yeah, you got a lot going on, but well, I was gonna say, as far as your, so I know this is like a weird way to look at things, but it's such a like weird blessing that you're pregnant and having these symptoms, because a lot of times, like, I can be a hypochondriac, to be honest. And so, like, if I'm having shortness of breath or something, I'm like, oh God, like, what is this? But the fact that you're like, well, I should get it checked out, 'cause I have a, you know, I'm pregnant and that's probably important anyway. So it's probably why your prognosis is so good, you know? So,
yeah. And the blessing, another huge blessing is, I mean, I've been an ICU nurse for 5 years. So to be honest, I really knew something was wrong. But they kept saying, you know, it's just pregnancy. But if we would have found it sooner, then it would have complicated my pregnancy. And now I have a completely perfect, healthy, newborn, you know, 'cause they might have, you know, I might have had to make some decisions or, yeah. So, I pretty much, my body, I think, pushed itself as far as it could until I could have the baby.
Wow. You are so, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't spell awesome without me, but you also can't spell Melinda without me.
That's true. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to call me. It means so much.
Oh my gosh. We love you so much. I don't even know you, and I love you so much.
I just want to give you a hug.
It's
and just,
so weird.
I know.
I know you can't wait to see those babies. And
honestly, though, please, please, please keep us posted on your health and even the little steps and what you're like, the steps that you're making.
Yeah, I'll be in the hospital pretty much every 3 weeks for, I think, six chemo cycles. So, yep.
Well, you've got it. We'll be pumping out episodes for you.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
We love you so much.
Yeah, we love you. We're praying so hard for you.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye, Melinda.
Okay, bye.
Bye,
Melinda.
Bye, guys.
Wow.
It just, everything that I have any complaints about, it's just out the window, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's such a testament, though, too, to, like, just...
it's such a testament to knowing your body, you know, and like mm-hmm. knowing when something's like I said, there's things where it's like, okay, I'm having shortness of breath, you know, that can be something common, but knowing like something's not normal, you know, like I need to actually take a further step. So,
but just even saying that, she said that the doctors were turning her away. That's saying insane. Like, no, you're fine. Had they caught it at that point, they probably would have told her like, you need to terminate mm-hmm. this pregnancy.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. Well, Melinda, we love you. So glad we got to talk to you. You're amazing.
And we'll definitely keep you guys posted too. As she keeps us posted, we will keep you posted on how she's doing.
Yes.
Because she's only going to be getting better and better.
That's right. Better and better. Are we going to do this other email?
Yeah.
Sans partner.
This is from Crystal. Becca and Tanya have discussed wanting children. Tanya, usually in the same breath, says that she wants a life partner and children. But I was curious if either of them have ever thought about having children sans partner.
Wow.
That's a big choice to make.
It's so funny. I was just watching a Friends episode before I came down here. And Monica, I think, had just broken up with Richard, you know, and she's like, how am I ever going to find someone that I love again? I want kids. I don't want to just like wait to find someone else. And she's kind of like making the decision, like, I'm going to have a baby. And Ross is like, aren't you missing something, like a dad? And I was thinking, like, times have changed so much since then, you know, like you watch Friends and things are like actually quite politically incorrect.
Totally. But, yeah. Hell yeah. You don't need no man. You just need a sperm. I don't need you. I just need your sperm.
But the thing
Thank
is,
Thank you, next.
Obviously, you can do it on your own. There's like so many like single moms out there and single dads out there who are doing it on their own. But I do think having a partner to help is like, I think it's a big deal. Like, I don't discredit having a partner. However, I think if you long for kids and you feel like that's a desire of your heart and you haven't found a partner to do it with, then I think, of course, you can do it on
your
own.
But she's saying, have you ever thought you may be Becca Tilly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course I have, because I do want
Sans
kids.
Partner.
Yeah. But I also know that I love sleep, and I've raised a dog by my, I'm like almost, well, I have my sisters, and it would have been really hard to do it on my own because they were like, we alternated nights of when we were up with her. So imagine doing that with children, not having someone else. You're not just taking on like a babysitting job. Mm-hmm. It's like you're raising a child. So I've thought about it, and I've thought like, it's cool that I have the option to do that if I ever choose to, or feel like that's what I want to do. But ideally I would like to have, you know, someone to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
You?
I've actually thought about this a lot because I am Son's partner currently. And I do want children. However, it goes back to the reason why I haven't frozen my eggs, because I do feel like God's put it in my heart that I am going to have a partner and I am going to have a family. So it's kind of like, I'm going to get one with that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to fertilize myself. That was way graphic.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa. It's tough to,
meaning like it's a desire of my heart that I'm going to have a life partner. Like, I'm going to have a husband and I'm going to have kids and I'm going to have a family.
Yeah.
So if God put that on my heart, he's going to like bring it to fruition. So I don't need to like freeze my eggs. It's just going to happen the way it's supposed to happen for me. So in my mind, I don't see it sans partner.
You don't see yourself having kids without a partner.
Correct.
But I don't think freezing your eggs means you're not like putting faith in God.
I don't think that's what it means. Oh. No, I don't think that's what it means. I just think for me, I've been so caught up in the whole, like, I think I let a lot of people get into my head of like, your eggs are getting older. Maybe you should freeze them. But I'm like, no, I think like I'm going to have a kid the way I'm supposed to have a kid.
Which
I'm not
going
to prepare for default, you know? That may be naive, but
I don't think it's, I mean, no, I mean, it's not, I'm sorry, but you're 32. It's not like you're like 75 and we're like, oh, how's
Tanya? It's over for Tanya.
Yeah, she's no chance. Yeah, I think you're good. Yeah. I'm worried for you.
Thanks.
Cool. There you go, Crystal.
Hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah. And you remember last week when we were trying to help Julia and like nothing helped? She tweeted us and was like, I'm dying laughing at everyone trying to give advice. Like, sorry. We didn't help much.
Yeah.
Hey, but, you know, they can't all be tens. You know?
That's true. True. Yeah. I think if a batting average is like a 7, we're solid.
You guys give pretty good advice 99% of the time, I think.
Thank you.
You know, I really felt validated one time because we had a therapist on, a psychologist or something, and I would answer like my opinion, and she'd be like, that's what I would say too. And I was like, I'm a therapist.
Oh, for sure. I always tell you that. I'm like, you have the most like level head on you than like most people I know. Like, I get worried about my advice because I'm so like,
Yeah, but you know, it's the saying. We say it all the time. Those who can't wed plan.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's those who can't teach and those who can't teach, teach PE. Isn't that the line?
No, it's those who can't do, teach.
There you go. That's it. That's the actual quote.
Wow.
Basically, what it's saying is, I don't necessarily follow my level-headed advice all the time, but I'm great at giving it to others.
That's true. I take your advice. Okay, I take your advice like 90% of the time.
Yeah, I have good advice for you.
Yeah, it's true.
But I feel like getting advice from someone who's opposite of you is good.
For sure.
Because it gives you a different perspective.
Because I give you good advice. Oh, I give you good advice.
Oh, whoa. You didn't even give me a chance to like agree. You like got defensive immediately.
Double down on it.
I give you the best advice.
Yeah.
What would you say your best advice is that you've given me?
I just feel as though there might be people in your life that are very similar to myself.
Oh, yeah.
So it's easy for me to see things from a different perspective and help you see the light.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Not to toot my own horn, but beep, beep.
Well, this has been a fun show. I mean, we've been at Central Perk all day at the Friends Pop-Up.
Talk about a dream come true. God.
I know.
I was going to see if I could like rent it and sleep there or something just to really
I guess they're putting sofas around the country.
Around the world, right?
Around the world.
I heard they're putting couches in like the Eiffel Tower.
Wow.
Huge landmarks like what's another one,
like the pyramids,
the very first Cheesecake Factory, you know, places like that. Places people know. But it's been really fun visiting the Friends Pop-Up here in New York City. Where it all happens.
This is truly a dream come true. Like, I literally watched this show every night before I go to bed.
I watch it daily.
Everything comes back to Friends.
And I watched it before, like I watched it as it was just coming to an end live.
For sure. Same.
So I saw the like finale live, and now it's so fun rewatching it still. It never gets old.
I agree.
So good.
So good. Well, thank you guys.
Shall we call time of death?
Let's call it.
All right. Here we go. Oh, Jesus. Sorry.
Was that loud?
It was really loud.
18.
I'm right. 18. 27. Wow. And I'm the one on sans sleep.